And a very pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live, broadcasting from the rear of the main auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. Your host for our program this evening is the Venerable Mark Meek.
Oh, that's a new word. Thanks, Jim. I don't know what that means. But
we'll not ask me either. So.
Does it have anything to do with Memorial Day?
No, but it could if we wanted it to, I suppose. So.
Hello, Gary Ware.
Mark Meek. Thanks for having me back.
It's well, a name, not a brand.
It's not a name, not a slogan.
Not a slogan. That's what it is, yes.
Yeah. We've had all kinds of.
We bring back old times. Every time Gary's here, we bring back the old days, you know, when we always picked on Mark.
The Venerable Mark.
What does that mean?
I'll have to look that up. It came up back in football season when we were doing live football broadcasts. Somebody called the team Venerable, but I never did bother to look it up and see.
You didn't?
What it meant, no.
Well, it might be interesting because...
Well, then I may be guilty of just copying that without really knowing either, so...
That may be a
backhanded
one of those things
compliment?
Accorded a great deal of respect, especially because of age, wisdom, or character.
There we go, see? Age, wisdom, and character. That's Mark.
All three,
Meek.
Huh?
He's the venerable Mark.
I don't have wisdom to look it up on Google right here.
And in the Anglican Church... The title given to an archbishop, so that fits Mark.
That's right. That's all it is, you know. Talking about wisdom, you know, wisdom is knowledge is knowing that a tomato is not a vegetable. It's really a fruit because it grows on a vine. But wisdom is being smart enough not to put it in a fruit salad.
And, that's deep. In the Catholic Church, a title given to a dead person.
I didn't come up with that now, Mark. You let the record show Gary came up with that.
So. I'm just reading the definition.
I wonder if that's what they use at the funeral services, the venerable.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I think you have to have a certain status. So they don't give it to everybody. So you have to be like just short of being Saint Mark.
Yeah.
So you're the Venerable Mark Meek, and then you get...
You know, I kind of like Silver and Tonto and Lone Ranger and all that better. I think it really fit better.
Which one was I again?
Were you Tonto?
I think so.
Was I Silver?
Probably so.
Yeah. I think I got the name. So who was Lone Ranger? Everybody called me Silver because, I assume because of my hair color. I don't know. Might have been for
we may be still looking.
A reason.
We may be still looking for the Lone Ranger.
Yeah. I've probably been called worse. But
think about calling somebody the Lone Ranger, it's because they work at a bank and they arrange loans.
That would be the loan arranger.
No. Right.
Okay. Loan arranger, yeah. What is that called? That was Lewis Stass had those in the Wheeler Times. What's that called when you do a play on words like that? Can't even remember what it was now, but he had a whole bunch of them in there. Have you been reading Lewis Stass's paper?
I'm sorry, what is this newspaper thing of which you speak? With no insult intended to anyone, and we know several people who are in and own newspapers, I do not own a bird. So I have no reason to ever have a newspaper.
I thought maybe you sent all those in, Jim.
Well, I may have given them to
After you
him
said that just a minute ago, I was going... Maybe he's the man. Maybe he's the one that's guilty of putting
all
that in
the paper. I'm pretty sure that the newspaper business is just like the radio business, and there is no idea so good it can't be plagiarized.
Yeah. That's probably right.
And you can steal from us, but you're stealing twice because we already stole it. So.
There's nothing new under the sun.
That's right, Solomon.
Yeah.
That's right. Disappointment.
Is this going to be a show of...
colloquialisms weird sayings.
Weird sayings.
Had one of those with Bruce last year. That was interesting.
Like Jim's little saying, if I steal your idea, it's plagiarism. But if I steal several people's ideas, it's research. So,
yeah. You guys just keep
going. Did I get that close?
I'm out of this.
You done very good, Gary. Right. No problem.
I had to paraphrase. But
You went past my
I stole that from Jim. I stole that idea from Jim.
You researched that from me.
maybe you need more than one on that one. So what you been up to, Gary? I know what Jim's been up to. He's been with his brother.
Well, let's see. We all the events that have happened over the last 6 or 8 weeks or so since mid-March kind of caused a little shuffle, I'll say. So I went from playing music probably 3 nights a week to having to spend time at home with my wife. So
now, having to do that?
Yeah.
We're giving you room here to rephrase this.
To just spending time at home with my wife, not having to. And then, so finally after a few weeks, I thought I'm going to take up golf after a 15-year
You're golfing?
Hiatus. Yes, I'm golfing now. So. So,
have you got Jim involved in this yet?
Not yet, but I figure that's coming. So, yeah. Desperate men resort to desperate measures, I think, since we're doing this.
Now, Mark, you know they don't let blind guys play golf.
They let anybody play golf.
Because it scares their dogs too bad.
I've played with a couple of guys. They were
blind.
Pretty not far from it.
They're pretty good golfers.
W.L. Jolly was one of them who, later in years, he had macular degeneration, I guess, and couldn't really see far. I mean, he could, so everybody would just kind of watch out and see where he hit it, but it was always right down the middle, so you didn't really have to watch.
I don't think that would be right down
no.
the middle.
I think that may be the difference between.
So how's it going?
Good, I think. This whole deal has been, from a business perspective, has been sure been different because all the businesses are trying to adjust to being compliant with stuff they recommend doing and also trying to function as a business. And so it's all been a little bit of a challenge, a little bit interesting trying to get all that done. Mm-hmm. So far, it's had an impact on us for sure, but we're still doing well. Business, from a business perspective, that's easy for me to say. But.
Yeah. Hey, I wouldn't be too surprised that we didn't have a uptick in business here before too long.
Yeah.
People start getting out and moving around again. And
yeah, and I don't want to tip anybody off or rat anybody out, but after our graduation event last night on the square, kind of got the feeling everybody was done with social distancing. I'll just put it that way. Everybody was pretty compliant during the graduation ceremony and did what the school recommended because everybody wants to get along. But after that, it was kind of like, we're kind of over this. So it'll be interesting to see the next few weeks how everything plays out and how restaurants and businesses adjust. And, the one catchphrase I've heard over the last 2 months that I totally hate is the new normal. Because I'm not really planning on there being a new normal, but I know a lot of people probably are. So kind of wanting to see how everything comes about after the next 2 to 4 weeks as far as churches and business and the other things related. I know we've had a really big, I would say successful run doing drive-in church, and I think there's a lot of people that are really not going to want to give that up.
I agree with you.
And so now we've got, you know, we're going to at some point have to transition back to the inside of the sanctuary and do church there. But I've heard from one or two people that there's a lot of people that really enjoy being able to drive up and have the church service outdoors and sit in their car and listen or whatever. So
weather probably is what will change that.
So I think you and I should probably look at investing in a drive-in movie theater. Probably.
You know, I drive by out here north of town all the time.
Where the old one used to be?
Yeah, and I thought, well, that wasn't such a bad idea.
Sandow Movie Theater in Clarendon's still going. They're having church out there, and mm-hmm. I think they're doing movies, and it's probably a pretty good niche to be in right now,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
The problem with that is you don't know in 6 months
what's going to be going on.
What's going to be going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd hate to try. It'd probably cost so much money to do that anymore that compared with what it did when they were putting those in years ago.
Well, just being involved in some of the chamber and EDC stuff and like Shamrock and Wheeler, since Shamrock had to convert their movie theater to digital, which, I mean, you can't even show a movie now if you're not. I think that equipment used, and Jim can probably verify this, I think the Shamrock EDC spent probably 70 or 80 grand just
on your numbers are very close to what I know.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Just to get the projection equipment. So that's not, I mean, that's, yeah, that's not screens.
Of course, if you had a drive-in movie, that's all you'd need. So mm-hmm. you don't have to have seats and everything else.
You'd have to have a big sheet to hang up.
Yeah, you'd have to.
We could get a grain silo and just paint it white. You know?
I saw somebody was doing that somewhere.
Sunray?
I don't know.
Yeah, one of those places was doing that.
It may have been Dumas, up there, right up there somewhere where they're having so much stuff going on.
Yeah, Dumas is one of the hotbeds of currently those people have been diagnosed, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't aware that someone had actually done that. I was just popping on.
No,
so,
you're prophetic, I think.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Never attribute to skill what is most adequately explained as dumb luck.
I'm just running through my mind if there's somewhere around here we could do it. But
a building that's big enough that already has a flat side on it we could paint white, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
Needs to be probably.
But, see, you got to be able to
park
and keep people from watching for free.
The courthouse would be a great.
That's right. Gary's right. You got to have it so that there's no place for people to park behind it and just watch, you know.
Yeah.
Because no longer do you have a little speaker in the window. You tune it to
103.9.
Hey, I'm not going to let them use that channel.
Oh, okay.
That's the church's channel.
I've seen pictures in these big cities. They have. How did they do that? They have big screens and have.
Well, you can get those screens that are inflatable. You fill the bottom with water or sand or something, and it inflates and holds it up. And it. Because someone suggested that last night. I said, yeah, I've seen those on Amazon or something. I said, yeah, that doesn't include a projector that you're going to spend $2,000 or $3,000 for to just have a mediocre picture on a on a 16-foot screen, you know.
Yeah. What a great community service you could do.
Yeah. See, that's the whole thing about all this. I think it's just the fact that people are having to rethink the way things have been done for the last few years. And some of it's been pretty negative, but not all of it has been. So
I read an article about New York City, and all these big corporations are not paying their rent. They're dropping their leases.
because everybody's working from home.
They figured out that everybody can work from home, and they don't have to furnish a building, and they don't have to, cuts out a big expense.
Yeah, ouch.
But I'm glad I don't know. The people that own those buildings are, I don't think, quite so excited about that.
Now, I don't believe in Wheeler County we got that problem. It's retail real estate for corporate offices are going to get suddenly vacated. But
there's a lot of things in Wheeler and Pampa, and you just, I think you have to get into a major population top center before some of those things become very applicable.
Yeah, I think so.
But you know what? If I had to drive to work every day or ride the subway, I wouldn't want to ride the subway with everybody.
No.
So,
but your options in New York City are probably subway or Uber
or walk.
Yeah. So taxi. Yeah, which is taxi. Basically the same thing, but. So, you know, what are you going to do? Unless you can live close enough to walk, you're going to end up probably taking the subway.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the numbers of people that they've had there that have had this, at first you kind of, and then you go, well, it's very obvious why everything that we do, we put people in office buildings, we put people in subways, we put people in restaurants, we put people in scads of people in nightclubs and bars, and you just start adding all that up, and then you look at Wheeler, Texas, and there's just a lot of difference in those two scenarios.
Yeah, so in the panhandle, instead of doing that, we don't let people go eat at their local businesses or go to their local retail stores. We just send them into Walmart and Sam's and
that's right.
Home Depot or whatever, Academy 400 at a time. And then,
well, here's the other thing, that all this one size fits all thing. Basically, when stores start cutting their hours, They're getting as many people in there. They're just clustering them in there in a shorter period of time.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of these things have worked against what they're trying to do with it. But really, I guess if I worked in a meatpacking plant, I might be a little concerned. But other than that, in the Texas Panhandle, there really hadn't been a whole lot of things going on to be concerned about.
Right. I agree. I always have to tread lightly when we get into these conversations, especially if you put something on Facebook, because eventually there's somebody out there that thinks that you don't have a heart and you're going to try to kill somebody's grandma or something.
Here's the other thing about the Texas Panhandle. With the number of people, it's easier to track where somebody's been and who they've been with.
Sure.
Compared with being on a general population in a subway or some venue where there's large numbers of people packed in. So out here, even with me staying at home most of the time, I start counting up how many people I come across. It's quite a number.
Yeah. I think another interesting thing that happened during all this, when it first started kind of breaking and you started seeing, like in New York, all the panic about the pandemic, and then, you know, 6 weeks, a month, or 2 months later, you start hearing that what they were doing there was people that were recovering from COVID, they were putting in nursing homes.
Yeah.
Which is probably the last place.
That's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, and so then they're like, why are our numbers going up so much? Well, you're sending people into exactly the place they don't need to be in.
So, yeah. Yeah, you know, people have made a lot of mistakes in all this.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to protect one thing, and it just multiplies somewhere else.
Right.
So, wow. Well, are you ready for Memorial Day?
I think it's about here, isn't it?
Yeah, the weekend's here.
I still don't have any plans. I'm just.
You don't?
Jim and I kind of got through yesterday, and that was plan A, was to get through yesterday, and we got done with that. And
then Friday, you mean, yes.
Friday, yeah, excuse me, because we're on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I don't want to.
It's a holiday, and you're okay. It's okay to get days mixed up.
So we got through Friday, so which was kind of the.
Three graduation services and exercises is what it was about. So.
In 2 days.
In 2 days. Well, four in 2 days.
Four in 2 days, yeah. Three on Friday and one on Thursday.
Kelton Thursday night, Fort Elliott Friday morning, and then Wheeler and Shamrock Friday night. So
who was the first night?
Kelton.
Kelton was. Okay. They did theirs Thursday night at 6 o'clock, wasn't it, I believe?
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
Nice little setup they had out there. That was really impressive. And Fort Elliott was, too. I went out to theirs Friday morning, and that was a very nice graduation exercise.
I tell you what, the day you picked for the weather was perfect.
Yeah, whoever was ordering the weather done a really good job.
If we'd waited till today, we might have caught everybody's cap and gown.
Yeah, wind's kind of been blowing out there.
Yeah, so it was really nice. And we had a neat time last night. Or I did, I don't know.
Friday
night? Yeah, that's right. It was Friday night.
Oh my gracious! You guys are a ball of fun.
We were. Me and my wife were dragging Maine.
How long has that been?
Oh, were you the one that was burning rubber out in the street? Is that what it was?
No, that was me. I don't have enough power in that Chevrolet to do that.
That's on purpose. We don't want people ruining their tires. So.
That's right. They're not tires.
Somebody left some pretty thick rubber out there in spots.
We won't call any names.
We went home after all that, and. There were black tire marks on Canadian Street at both ends of Main Street, and I don't know where all else after all that was over.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I was in a business a while ago, and a young lady, somebody brought it up. They'd seen us out there, and we were all laughing and talking about it. They're older like I am. And this young lady was in there, and she is going, I just don't see what y'all enjoy about all that. And you know, it's just foreign. I said, hey, that's what we all used to do. And everybody, all the guys would chase the girls, and the girls would be trying to get away from the boys, and everybody's honking at each other. I said, it was a crazy thing. And I said, if somebody got to drinking a little too much, the sheriff would go tell their dad and mom they need to go get them.
Yeah, or they'd go get their beer and pour it out or something. Not that ever happened to me, Jim.
It happened in Wheeler that way, but I said, if you were from Briscoe, you got to spend the night in jail.
Unless your last name was Ware, you know. So. my excuse if I get stopped by a police officer anywhere in Wheeler County is, hey, you know, I know Gary Ware. That's
you
always
see how that works.
You better be watching. You better watch out. It might backfire on you.
I did have a concern when they were scheduling that Friday night that we had an entire generation of kids from school who didn't know what a drag was.
Oh, I know that was a fact.
And I was curious if it could, because I knew there was going to be some of the older generation that was going to pick up in it and kind of lead the way for them. And I was set up doing the radio broadcasting on the far end off the courthouse square. Didn't get a chance to see how busy it was, but I was hoping that it would kind of catch on. And so we were getting reports from the various booths at the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church. They were reporting in on what was going on. And it was apparently catching on, at least early on.
It stayed pretty full.
Pretty busy. Until about 10:15, I think. And then it kind of started easing off because the old timers decided it was time for bed.
I can't tell you that the parents of one of the seniors that was texting us during the event said that their senior said, now, what is it? What exactly is it we're supposed to do at this? So, well, you drive to one end of Main Street and you turn around. When they were first organizing the event, which we were involved in a little bit, that there was some talk about having everybody go to the end of Main Street and come down Canadian Street and do all this because they were concerned about traffic. And I was like,
isn't that the point?
Even you guys don't understand. This is the drag. You go up Main Street and down Main Street, which way would up be?
Yeah. Technically, up would be north and down would be south.
But. All right. But everybody meets everybody and honks their horn and waves at each other.
And the thing is, okay, it took me 21 minutes to make the drag. That's the point. It takes you 20 minutes to make that 12-block circle or whatever it was, you know.
You know, when I was in high school, if I remember right, you went down to the north end of Main Street there to 152, and you turned, you went out the east side of town and turned around.
Sparlin's back in my day.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was a little longer.
Kim Elliott used to work out there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call his name since he's probably listening.
Yeah.
So we'd go up, turn around Sparlin's parking lot. You want a great story about Dragon Main? My brother had an old pickup, about a early 50 model, and so we were all in that pickup. Tim's brother Ken was in the back along with about five other guys, and we're dragging up and down Main. They're sitting on the edge of the bed on the pickup, and I get out there to Sparlin's, and a dog runs across the road, and so I swerve the pickup, and Tim's brother Ken flips out of the back of the pickup and lands in the middle of the highway.
On his feet?
Not exactly.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
I thought I'd probably killed him, but I didn't. Anyway, he got up and got back in the pickup, and we went back to Dragon.
Back before Ralph Nader discovered it might be dangerous to ride in the back of a pickup, I guess.
Yeah,
I grew up that way, too.
Yeah, so anyway, that was...
Yeah, this young lady.
That was the first person I thought I might have killed.
He said that as though there is a rather long list.
Could be a couple more.
So the young lady this morning, she wanted to know about what was the law enforcement doing. I said, well, they're just
they
sitting
were
up
watching.
There on the street watching them drive
Same
by.
Thing they used to do back in the 70s.
Yeah. Gas was... probably 25 cents a gallon. And
no, but it was probably 60 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
Hey, when I was in high school, it was about
25 cents. Okay. There's a 10-year difference there.
Yeah. We're about 10 or 15 years apart there. Yeah. And it was just as hard to come by then as it was
later. Well, yeah, because you made $4 a day working, you know. So
My dad would go, I don't understand what y'all get out of that driving up and down that street.
Well, part of it, Mark, is we had cars we liked. Yeah. You know, they wasn't some little import thing that got 61 miles to the gallon and you couldn't hear running, you know. We had cars
that
we were proud of.
They
were cool.
Factored into that. First of all, if you had TV at all, you got ABC, NBC, and CBS. You didn't have 400 channels. You didn't have any kind of video games. You didn't have...
Now, I beg to differ. Even at that age, I had Pong.
Well, that was just...
I didn't get TV while I was in high school. And then we didn't watch it that much.
Right.
Black and white. What do you expect?
So, you know, there was, and it was just like growing up as a kid, too. We didn't have really any entertainment in the house, so we went out and rode bicycles and went to the pool and did all that stuff. I mean, that's the same kind of thing that ties into making the drag. I mean, it was just for a social activity where you could get to see friends and hang out. And
it is a big deal what kind of car you had.
Oh yeah,
I had the family car. I never had one, but man, it was all my friends did.
I can probably think of a few of them that had
They probably bought a bunch of them out at Ware Chevrolet. Some Chevelles.
Yeah, probably a few Camaros back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, I still see some of those guys around here. And one in particular that had a red one.
Right.
That he was all the time trying to outrun the cops, kind of like the cops didn't know who he was.
Right.
All they had to do is go and wait at his house for him to show up. Isn't that funny?
It is.
Teenage mind.
And when we made the drag, and I didn't grow up in this county, but a town about twice this size, and drag was about twice as big. But some of the high school girls would work at the local drive-in. It was called the Dairy Mart, you know, back before we had franchises. And the girl that worked the window was real sweet on my best friend, and he had a car and I didn't. So we'd make the drag, and we'd drive through, and we'd order two Cokes, which were 50 cents a piece, and he'd give her a dollar, and she'd give him four quarters and change. And we'd go back on the drag, you know. So
yeah.
So there were fun times about that as well.
So. Yeah. So we had the gopher hole here. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That was an interesting place. So that was kind of part of the drag. You go down there and go down. It was down in a hole. You kind of had to go down off the highway, go around.
Around the building and
around back up on the highway.
Drive up. And, a large Coke was like a quarter when I was.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, you going to get a large Coke? Because you can get a small one for like a dime.
I think you'd get a hamburger and a Coke for about a dollar.
Yeah.
And they were big hamburgers. You know, now those hamburgers are about 4 inches in diameter. And back then, they had huge, big old hamburgers. And they were...
So exactly what is the theme of our program tonight?
To me like our theme is reminiscing.
it really is because
there's
this
a good
is Memorial
song about
Day.
A little river band about that, but
this is Memorial Day.
It is.
And I looked up a scripture about
you
that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Is it something about set a monument and remember these things or?
No, actually it wasn't. So I can get my phone turned on, turned it off while we go when all that racket was going on.
But there's nothing wrong with remembering things, Mark. I think we've got a couple of generations that act like they've forgotten what everything else has come behind them.
We've talked about that.
Yeah. But so there's nothing wrong with remembering.
I found something you're not supposed to remember.
All right.
If I can get my phone to come up. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. So,
No, I'll get there.
We'll get there here in a second. I want to look at it, and I'll turn my phone off. It takes my phone about 15 minutes, so we'll have about 15 minutes to talk about this at the end of the program.
In memory of R.L. Zubach, we're going to have
a moment of silence.
A moment of silence, because that's where our dear brother R.L. would be on the radio.
So what verse?
Let me look here. There's several verses, actually.
Maybe that would be chapter 10. I don't know.
Yeah, it is chapter 10.
This is radio silence.
It's talking about sin. And it says that
we need a little Jeopardy music in the background.
Yeah, here. We do, because I think I got the wrong verse, actually. Here. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year after year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. You, have you ever noticed how short our memory is? Maybe y'all have more going than I do, but really what happened last year is pretty distant, and what happened 10 years is real distant, and what happened 25 years ago, somebody's going to have to remind me.
Right.
And so it says that they came, because in verse 3 it says, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So what the law was all about in the Old Testament was to remind people that they're sinners, so that they would realize their need for a Savior. And so every year they would come and offer a sacrifice. And here it says that it was done as a remembrance,
right,
of sin. And then it says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And then it goes on down, and it starts talking about Jesus. In verse 10, it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Talking about priest and under the law. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So here's what we remember, that the Bible says is we shouldn't, but we remember our sins. We remember our shortcomings. I have a tendency to remember those things better than I remember what he says we ought to remember is Jesus and what he did.
Right.
And so when I was saying about remembrance, I was looking in the scriptures. I was thinking, well, hey, I need to find a scripture that talks about something we need to remember. And this does. It says, don't remember your sins. It says, remember what Jesus did on the cross, which was to totally take your sins away.
So when you were talking about that, it reminded me of Philippians 3:13. Because this one says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. So yeah, it's there again. It's telling us,
you know, same thing.
Forget those things that are in the past.
Yeah,
that's why the windshield of your car is big and your rearview mirror is small. You're supposed to keep looking forward for where you're going and not standing on the past.
And, you know, there's some things that you do need to remind yourself. Those things that are great victories, the good times, your family, all those things you do need to remember, mm-hmm. those things. But the past is past. It's there to enjoy, but it's not there to pull you down.
Right.
And so we do look forward to the...
Right. I think one example is just the Passover. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, God set an example there for them to remember that every year because of the... I mean, in the middle of all that, there was a lot of tragedy for the Egyptians. Yeah. And then y'all may have talked about this last week.
You we did. I was sitting here thinking we should have had you on here last week.
Yeah.
Because the Passover, it's still going on. I mean, not only in the Jewish world, but in the Christian world, because Jesus came and fulfilled that.
Right.
But we still bring ourselves into remembrance. And over again, Paul said for us to take that in remembrance of Jesus. And Jesus himself said that, said, do this in remembrance of me. So yeah, it is Memorial Day. It is the time that has been set aside for us to remember our war heroes. And I looked it up, and this started right after the Civil War. And the date then was set in 1971, but there's been kind of a continuation of that, and then they set a national day. But really, the Passover has been there for thousands of years, that over and over and over again, it's been done as remembrance of what God did, first off in Egypt, but then on the cross.
Right. So there are those things, like when we take communion and the Passover and all those things that are tied together. And then the other side of the coin is that God tells us not to remember a lot of the other stuff, because our identity gets tied up if we remember all of our sin and our failures and our mess ups, and then that's all you keep your attention and your focus on. It's like Jim saying, you know, you keep your focus on what's ahead of you instead of what's behind you. With regards to our living our lives and trying to just fulfill our walk with the Lord, we want to do that and kind of keep looking at, hey, what's next? What do we want to do next? What's our church called to do? What am I called to do, you know, with my family? And if you're in business, what am I called to do with my business to make sure that we're adapting and we're going the direction that God's called us to go?
Yeah. You know, Gary, I look back in my life, there's been a lot of change in direction in certain areas, in nearly every area of my life. And the decisions I've made sometimes were based on failure of the past and not just my own failure.
Right.
I mean, my dad was totally 100% convinced that there was going to be another Great Depression. And he lived every day of his life like that was about to happen.
Right.
It could happen at any moment. And so he was more expecting of that. Well, you know, that kind of got built into me a little bit.
Right.
Because I was with him and around him, and I heard that, and I heard those stories, and I heard about how they'd tie a string onto a piece of bacon and let you chew on it for a while, but then they'd pull it out, and the next one. It depends on your age. Hey, beat that one.
I believe that's an old wives' tale. I don't think that's true.
Beat that one. Now, you know. But that's the kind of stories I grew up on, you know. And so what I did then, I found myself making decisions based on that. When I started making my own business decisions, I was making my decisions based on that. And you know, that still keeps kind of jumping up every once in a while. And it's a remembrance. I need to see what God's doing now, not what was happening to in the family back in the Depression days, but that still tries to make those decisions for me.
Right. So what it is, bottom line, what it boils down to is if you're doing that, if you're basing your decisions on the past and on remembering those things that had happened in the past, then you're going to be operating out of fear.
That's right. That's right.
And when God tells us in the Word not to remember all those things, what He's instructing us to do is start operating in faith and trusting in in Him, in His direction and His provision and His guidance for us. And then we're able to make decisions that are going to be geared towards what's taking place in the future and not what took place in the 1930s or 2020, if you want to look at it that way. Yeah.
And that's why I brought that up, because we can start making our decisions now based on what a pandemic is causing, rather than what faith would be. Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of the country, I think that's where a lot of the world is. They're looking from this point going forward, making decisions based on how to respond to a pandemic. They're not making decisions based on the Word of God or faith in the Word of God, but they're going to make decisions on, wow, you know, we're coming out of this in the next 30 days, but what if? Right. What if this happens again, or what if something else comes up? And then, it probably, so I'm not going to be able to tell you the verse, chapter and verse on this, but when you talk about the parable of the talents, where the one.
What guy hid his?
Yeah, hid his. That's the reaction you get into when you start off.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Out of fear, you know, it's like, hey, I'm just going to bury this and make sure nothing happens to it instead of doing something with it. So
what did the Lord tell those first two? He said, you've been faithful and little, I'll make you Lord overall. And that's the same story?
Right, pretty much.
And gave him each one according to how he approached things by faith, is how I perceive that.
And the one that operated in fear, he lost what he was given, and that was given to...
He didn't have much to lose.
Right, he didn't have any much to lose, and he lost that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a great example, because there's so many people that's really, you know, when this all started back there, we had quite a few houses for sale, and you know, we've just been selling houses real steady. In fact, we've had the best run on selling houses, and there was a little fear in me. I was going, man, with this all was to just be, you know, it'd be, maybe this is what my dad talked about.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know. Being in business, I know exactly what you're talking
about. And then it just seemed like all of a sudden everything just broke loose and everything just started moving. And so now we make the next decision. Do you do it again? Well, yeah, you do it again. You just keep on going.
Right.
You don't stop when you're in the middle of smoke.
Yeah.
You get run over. But so you just plow on through, even though you can't see exactly where you're going, what you're doing. You just keep on doing what you're doing. If it's driving, you just drive on through.
Right. And the good thing about it, too, is I don't think it's a blind
leading the blind.
Right. I don't think it is. You know, I think you've
It's not blind faith.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's like you're in a smoke storm or whatever, but you're not just driving through that smoke or whatever blind. I mean, it's like you do have direction, and it may not be for more than the next sometimes maybe the next hours, sometimes the next days, or sometimes the next week, or maybe, you know, maybe longer, but you just keep doing that which you know that you've been given direction to do, and then eventually you kind of get through all that and out on the other side. It's when you have I mean, our business has 15 employees, so we're not huge, but I mean, it's a significant number of of people that we have working for us. And so you take that, and then you start looking at, it's like you got all these families
that are
dependent on that business being successful. So you have those two paths to take. One of them is you can go back into fear, and you can say, hey, I'm going to shut down and, you know, hold what I got, or I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to take any chances, but I'm not going to lose what I've got, which is usually when you
mess up.
Or you can take that other route that says, hey, I'm going to consider all my options, and I'm going to make good decisions based on the leading of the Holy Spirit and based on the Word. And when you do that, you're going to come out on the other side of that and be successful.
Gary, I've sold cattle recently, and you know, it wasn't a very pretty thing. I mean, it was quite a bit less than what I had anticipated for this year. And because I was at the first of the year, it was really looking like the cattle business was going to be really strong this year. And so I was expecting a little stronger year than what the past had been. Well, it didn't turn out that way. And you know, I have an end that I have to meet with that. I've got pasture concerns because this time of year, what I'm running cattle on dries out. And so I had to move those cattle. But in all that, I just did what I need to do. I just made the best decision I knew how to make it. And in all that, there's been peace in it.
Right.
There's not been any second guessing. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. I just did what I knew to do based on what I know from past experience.
Right.
And I'm just not going to be concerned about that. I believe the Lord is taking care of us. I mean, he is so huge that I'm sure... It says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Right.
So my deal is I might have a few on one hill.
Right. I think what you said too there is pretty key too, because what you said is you make decisions based on past experience, but that's not necessarily making decisions based out of fear of past experience. That's making positive decisions based on things that you know can occur that are, again, in front of you. So,
and that past experience also means God's been with me, and he's given me wisdom to do the right things before, and why should that change now? This didn't take God by surprise, and so I'll just continue to do what God's directed me to do in the past and continue and not have a spirit of fear about that.
Yeah. You know, there's just a wisdom that comes through experience You look at, just like I am, I look at my condition of my cattle, and I look at the condition of my pasture, and I'm making decisions based on knowing what's going on through the years. I'm not out here doing some oddball thing. Now, if he told me to, I would do some oddball thing.
Right.
But I've had peace about what I've been doing. It's not like I've been, he's been showing me something different. It's just like.
Right. I can say the same thing, too. It's not like, through this whole deal, I could probably tell you at one point in my life, I would have probably crumbled, really. I mean, facing what we start seeing in the middle of March,
yeah,
when you're in business and they start telling you everybody's going to have to,
yeah,
to shut down and do all these things. And, I mean, there's not been one night where I hadn't been able to,
yeah,
lay my head down on my pillow and go to sleep and get up ready to go the next day. I mean, it hadn't been all pleasant. And, you have things, yeah, that do happen that you have to deal with. But overall, it's been just,
yeah,
here's where you're going, and these are the steps you need to, mm-hmm, keep following to get where you're going.
Well, Gary, in perspective, we've had a lot of days and weeks that wasn't very good, that didn't have anything to do with this time we're in now.
Exactly.
We've been through all of that before. In the perspective of looking in the rearview mirror, we've survived every trial that's came our way up until today. And there's no reason to believe God's not going to get us through today.
Right.
And we're going to survive tomorrow if another one comes along.
Right. One thing, too, it's like you listen to Andrew Womack teach about healing. And one of the things that always sticks out, and it's probably if the worst thing happens to you is that you die, you're going to go to heaven. So,
So
the pressure's off.
What's the big deal?
So it's kind of similar,
And for those people out there that you're struggling a little bit and may have lost your job, there's probably people maybe listening that have lost their jobs.
Absolutely.
Well, just have confidence that God's going to get you through all this. I mean, he's well able to take care of you, and he's willing to take care of you.
Right.
You have a lot of responsibilities and family responsibilities and things to take care of, but you got the greater one on the inside of you.
Right.
Hey, so, go ahead.
Before we're going to run out of time, and I don't know if she'll hear this or not, probably not, but there was a lady that played the organ for the procession at the graduation Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvia Lee,
mm-hmm,
guess how many times she's done that at Wheeler's graduations?
Oh, man, how many? That's a...
Last night was her 69th graduation.
69th graduation.
So, I talked to her husband. She said, yeah, she started when she was 3. So,
I tell you,
man.
I tell you what, there's not anybody more talented than she is.
And somebody said, they need to check the Guinness Book of World Records and see if there's, that might be up there.
Yeah, it'd be close.
Sure might qualify. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, I've enjoyed this. I'm
a little reminiscing.
We need to remember of some things, but we need to forget all that crap.
There you go.
Forgetting those
Mark
things
said
that
crap
are behind us.
Yeah, Mark said crap on the radio.
I know
everybody understands what I'm saying. All right. Well, Gary, thanks for being on.
Wow, thanks for having me up again.
Jim, thanks for that.
I can tell when you're desperate.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The program for the 21st week, 22nd week.
You just had to get that
had
in.
Had to get the 22nd week in there. Is in the books. So.
The Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
And tomorrow is the big holiday, so everybody enjoy and be safe. And we'll be back next week. Good night, all.
Good night.